Are you sitting comfortably, everyone? For it is the Tiny Plastic People podcast, and we are the Tiny Plastic People. Today we are going to have a Warhammer 40,000 10th edition special, and that is very exciting because there are four of us here and we were going to talk about the 10 things that we love about 10th edition. How good is that? But to do that, I need to be joined by people. I am James, but I am joined by Pete.
Hi.
I'm also joined by another James, aka Rouge.
Hello.
And I'm joined by a new face, which you can't see on the podcast, Nick.
Hello. We can't see my face either, because we've not got cameras turned on.
No. I was going to suggest, should we put cameras on? But then I forgot. Quickly do that. Oh, yeah, here we go. I'm going to do it.
Here we go. It's the real... Oh, I like your shirt, Pete. That's great.
Thanks, man.
Great audio content.
Got a good it compliment is. For it in the office today, and that's my exciting news.
Being new to the podcast, Nick, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I've been back in the hobby saddle. Like many people, I did a bit when I was a teen, mostly Warhammer Fantasy Battles, and then one memorable incident of playing the Battle for Macragge box set with a friend and just getting completely stomped as the Nids. Which kind of put me off 40k ever since. The minute I mostly do Age of Sigmar, but as I'm sure we'll get to in the podcast today, I've been dipping my toes into the lukewarm waters of the grim, dark future.
Incredible. Excellent. Awesome. Well, lovely to see you all. It's always good to have a little podcast on a Wednesday night. And I'm not going to say the date because it takes us a long time to edit these things. So, all right. So before we go into our theme, our special theme of the day, let's have a little chat about what we're up to. So I did put an order together and I've lost it. There it is. We're going to talk to Pete first about what it is you've been doing in the hobby.
Well,
lately.
I mean, I've been playing games and painting Tyranids. I've managed to get 6 games of 10th edition under my belt since it came out, which feels like a decent clip. But yeah, mostly I've been playing with Tyranids, so that's been my hobby focus thus far. I'm literally currently painting a Carnifex as we speak.
Excellent. And your new big boy?
No, just an old style Carnifex with a gun.
The classic.
Yeah. I have got the new Leviathan box set, which is very exciting. I've put everything together from the Tyranid side. Painted the 5 Barb Gaunts, and that's it so far. there are some other things that have paint on them, but that's the only thing that I've completed as of yet. But yeah, really, other than that, In the hobby world, it's been trying to sort of push the rules into my head and being slightly successful with that, I would say.
Good. Awesome. Yeah, it's hard to get all new rules into your head and try and eject the old ones. I think that's the hardest bit.
Well, and I'm also very lazy, so I just kind
of... Yeah, and that.
Don't want to spend a long time reading rules.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it, Pete, because I was going to accuse you of being lazy, and it sounds worse coming from me.
Ironically, I was quite proactive about it.
I've been doing my research every now and then. Like, as soon as someone mentions, like, oh, this data sheet thing is really good, or that unit is strong, it's quite nice. Maybe we'll touch on it later, but you can just go in an app and have a look at it. Anyway,
I'll just put
Bat-Rex
on in the background and hope for osmosis to... do the heavy lifting for me.
All right, Rouge, what have you been up to in the last time since we spoke?
I have played 2 games of 10th edition, and I set up for a third, but then we had to go for dinner, so we sacked that off. So that makes me the most qualified member of the panel for all rules lawyering today, okay? Other than
correct.
Spot. Okay. So... that's what I've done since 10th came out. And the second bullet point here on the list asks me to talk about any hobby progress inspired by the new edition. Well, yes, because I'm an idiot. Now that you can take obliterators in units of 4, I bought a bunch of the stupid, ugly, derpy ones from eBay for like no money because they're dumb and everyone hates them apart from me. And so I'm trying to give them a bit of a glow up. I've done a little bit of kit bashing on them, swapped their incredibly ugly heads for some slightly more modern heads, stuck a few extra tentacle mecha, what are those things, mechadendrites, whatever name, stupid Games Workshop name, TM they give them, and yeah,
a very mechadendrite to you.
Got some big rocks for them to stand on because they're very tiny boys,
much much smaller, right?
They're real short kings, but I love them anyway. And when they, you know, when they drop down on the table with their big brothers, I'm gonna laugh as I pick the chod killing profile and just roll like 1,000 dice and continue to slow roll the game. And the other hobby progress is now that finally, after years of petitioning Games Workshop, they're gonna let me run cultists and more cultists, I can finally start painting the backlog of about, I don't know how many cultists are on the backlog now. I think I have at least 40 unpainted cultists waiting to get painted.
What's the max unit size of cultists these days?
20!
And they battle line, right?
Correct. So I can bring 120. People laugh, but that's 12 grenade launchers and 12 flamers and 12 heavy stubbers. So even
I don't think that's very much. I think...
Yeah? Oh. James can tell you about the grenade launchers.
I thought his grenade launchers. Uh-huh.
Not much
scary.
Fun, right?
No, they're not.
No one should give a cultist a strength 9 gun. No. Not when they can dark pact and do the lethal hits like everybody else. It's pretty funny. Anyway, so yeah, but you, it doesn't end there, obviously. You can take all the other cultists. You can take all the different versions. So I'm going to try and put like a 1,000-point, 200 man army down at some point and just
incredible.
Really annoy some poor person. So whoever that is in the future, sorry, but you know I had to do it to them.
Oh, I secretly hope.
And that's
me.
It from me. I'm waffling. People are queuing up. People, I've got people in the DMs. They're begging for it. They want it.
They're sliding in.
They want the hot cultist action. They said, "Look,
can that be the title of the podcast?" I've got people in the DMs begging for it.
They're begging. Please, they say.
It's rare that we get the title. So
you're the only man who can satisfy my need to see this many useless infantrymen on the board.
You and your 1,199 brothers are the only ones who can satisfy me.
It's true. It's my cross
brothers,
to bear.
Sisters and siblings in chaos.
Oh yeah, that's it from me. Thanks.
Beautiful. And what have I been up to? I've been painting custodians because what is the direct?
That's right. You're
going to
need some better units.
Exactly. What is the direct opposite of 1,000 cultists all coming in? Is
one big
7 custodies
boy.
Getting tabled, yet
still
somehow winning.
But still winning. Thanks, Gambit cards.
So, yeah, I am painting through the last of my custodies, which is a mighty 15 models.
Woohoo!
And then I've secretly been planning Space Marine plans. Because I'm a little... I'm just normcore, really, when it comes down to it. And I want to get back to some of my Blood Angels. But also, I might have ordered myself a lion. And
I mean, at least you picked the sexiest loyal unit, right?
So I couldn't resist him.
Exactly.
As soon as he came back and...
Can you do one thing for me, though?
What is that?
Can you get a sculpt of Robert Pattinson's head and 3D print it very small and put it on a captain for me? And I promise I will never kill that guy on the table.
I can't promise anything.
Well, I'm leaving the podcast forever.
It was a good
particularly
run.
That.
That was the red line.
But yeah, I'm quite excited to do something different with Space Marines, and I'm trying to think of what that different thing
different
is.
Kind of angel.
So just...
Robert Pattinson head. That's ooh. It. Just do
blood
it.
Just that. Dark.
Do that's the Cullen family though, right? Coven.
Do you want them to be just like multiple Robert Pattinsons?
Brother, pass me the plot armor.
Oh, it's only one captain who's requesting, I think.
Yeah, only one.
Okay. Well, that's not that bad. Just one.
I mean, it
not
would greedy. Be, but now that you mention it, Pete, an army of Robert Pattinson yeah. space marines. Now we're talking.
You could have him in his different roles. You could have one as Vampire Pattinson. Yeah. You could have one as whatever that film is, where at the
hot.
End it turns out it's 9/11.
Yeah, the Lighthouse. So, you could have Lighthouse Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
Oh,
you can have
yeah.
Batman now Robert Pattinson. You can have Cedric Diggory. You
could have the time-travelling guy off that film.
Yeah.
That
if you
saw.
Oh, if you had a Cedric Diggory one, every time I killed him, I would be obligated to shout, "That's my boy!"
Dedrick.
As you took him off the
like...
table. Ha-ha. Got him.
And that's all the Robert Pattinsons that there are.
Yeah.
That is.
Films.
David Cronenberg, Robert Pattinson, where he's in the car.
I don't know that one.
I'm not familiar. Wait,
we only know Robert Pattinson from GIFs in this channel.
Is that the other Crash film?
It
wasn't
might.
In that, surely.
No, he was in one with Cronenberg and
okay.
stuff. And it was when he was trying to be an actor.
Rude.
He is an actor. Wow.
Fuck.
I'm calling
the
our Pat's defense force right now.
Can't believe.
Yeah, I'm.
They're also
team,
in my DMs
team Jacob,
now.
Yeah, that's me. Team Jacob.
Oh my god. Imagine.
Oh, traumatic.
I always had my suspicions.
But yeah, Space Marines. That's what I'm planning on doing. I probably won't do it, but you know that's
oh.
a plan. My plans just seem to like fall apart as soon as they come into contact with large events. So
what you're saying is, look, be on the lookout for a cheap lion in a buy sell trade channel soon.
Mm.
Well,
with a weird head swap.
Yeah, just Robert Pattinson heads just going
incredible.
More cheap on eBay.
Yeah.
Various
so,
sizes.
Someone, you know, someone's 3D.
I think there'd be
those.
A thriving market for that.
It's got to be right.
Anyway, Nick.
Hello.
How about your hobby plans for 10th and post-10th?
Yeah, so I got the... I was given very kindly by a friend of mine, shout out to Jamie. They gave me the combat patrol for the Leagues of Votan for a kind of crib birthday thing. And so I've been just kind of gradually chipping away at it. I wanted to get it done for a recent event we had where we kind of celebrated 10th. We're playing a load of games, and I very much did not do that. So now I'm just kind of picking away at it in my own time. I've just done a nice little tricycle there. Very
wow.
satisfying.
For the viewers yeah. at home, we're looking at a rad trike. Just use your imagination.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, so I've just been kind of picking away at that. I've been thinking about doing some AOS hobby as well. But it's still very much in the theoretical stage. Oh, and that's the thing that I've been doing recently, is I've discovered the joy of transfers.
Oh,
I
yes.
had never tried transfers before.
Have
and
you
the
become...
only thing I knew is people talking about how difficult they are, and they always look rubbish, and they always tear. And I guess I'm just built different.
No, it's not. I don't know what it is. I'm on your side.
Yeah,
now,
I'm team
like,
transfers.
I love
never...
transfers too. This is
yeah.
a transfer,
never struggled.
Transfer space.
Yeah.
Even in the water days when I was a small boy and we didn't have, you know, vinegar-based setting agents or whatever, you know. Even with
I don't
just
even
water,
use a setting agent.
I'll
just use a bit of Lamian medium. Just soak it in a bit of Lamian medium.
That
comes
counts.
Right off.
That counts.
Anyway, yeah, transfers to six. Sorry. Okay.
What prompted the pivot to transfers?
Bullying.
I just
probably.
There's. I got them with the combat patrol, and they're not as common in AOS.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, is kind of my main hobby thing.
Hardly
there's
at all, right?
There's a couple of Stormcast ones which I've just never bothered with. They're not, frankly, that interesting. But the Votan ones are fun. It's very satisfying having a wee shoulder pad with a little gurning face on it. Love it.
It's just like a little mwah at the end of the model.
Exactly.
Little,
and yeah. you put a little bit of chipping on it and it just, oh, delightful.
Yeah. Crisp glorious. Little flourish. Right.
Mm. A little flourish at the end. Beautiful. Awesome. So that's us done for the rest of the day. We're going to go.
All right,
on
see
two.
Ya. Bye, everybody.
Late.
And that's what
bye.
We like about 10th. Transfers.
He loves the transfers.
Finally.
Transfer pack.
It's about time they added them in, really.
So, the way we're going to run this is that we have assembled eight things, two things between us. that we love about this new edition. We're trying to bring a bit of positivity into everything. That has always been the Tiny Plastic People way. And also, you might have probably guessed that we also haven't played that much of this new edition. So who cares what we think? But anyway, we like things.
We don't need to play that much. That was exactly the line.
Tiny Plastic People, the podcast that knows it's irrelevant.
We're as good as any other Warhammer influencer. We play one thing and we read the press release and then we just fire the takes.
If anything is true on the internet, is that you do not need to experience something to have an opinion on it.
Exactly. We just start drama with one of the other big channels.
Yeah, Midwinter Minis. Yeah, we need to stop. I'm coming for you, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's right. Get ready, Goober Town.
Anyway, the plan is we're going to go through one of these things each, and then we're going to go around twice, and then we will come up with two bonus things, probably at the end, if we have not covered it, and that will make 10 things we love about 10th. That sound pretty good?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Nice. And we're going to start with Pete. What is the first thing you love about 10th edition Warhammer 40,000 from the Games Company Games Workshop?
I think my first thing is something that I think probably a lot of people have picked up on, because it's one of the major rules differences. But it's just the new stat line formats and data sheets, data cards in general. The fact that weapons just have all the information you need to know about them on where their weapon profile is, you know, melee weapons not needing to be cross-referenced with the stat block of the unit that's using them. It's just a lot easier to read. I love the fact that there are a sensible amount of universal special rules now that are easy enough to sort of take on board. And also, with the app, which I'll get onto in my second thing, you can just click on them if you don't know what they mean, and it tells you what they do. And that's incredible.
That is one of the best things in the app, when you click
on the
word.
It's a delight.
Yeah.
I want more words to click on in the app, please.
Yeah. Give me, make it so every single word is a hyperlink.
Yeah, click everyone. I want the dictionary definition.
Hashtag tooltip the world.
It's glorious, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think... Oh yeah, no, I won't get into the strength toughness thing, because that's somebody else's point. But yeah, I mean, the way spoilers that the stats are presented, that it's so much more readable. I have a friend who I sort of frog marched back into Warhammer a few years ago, and he's like not really a natural war gamer by inclination. Like, he never did it as a kid, unlike so many of the rest of us. And the way that, like, you needed to know, like, this unit has X attacks which interacts with the melee weapon in this way, it was something that he sort of struggled with keeping in his head, because obviously ranged weapon, it tells you everything you need to know, including the amount of shots that it has, whereas melee weapon was completely different. The fact that it's standardized now, just, it's so much easier. Yeah, stats, new stats are great, big fan. Simplified, yes. Two thumbs up.
I especially like the data sheet, just like the layout of them. Particularly, weirdly, the Forge World ones, which are slightly better than the
Did the Forge World ones do the thing that Combat Patrol did, where they put the invuln save next to the normal save?
Yes, and that is exactly why they're slightly better.
Yeah.
But other than that, they're all pretty good.
It's funny how they did that for Combat Patrol and not non-Combat Patrol.
Do you think that they thought of it after they'd done the main cards, but they'd already been to print and it was too late?
I wonder. And I wonder, having that in mind, if they will sort of move over to that as Codex has come out.
It seems like quite an obvious thing as soon as it was on the other cards. It was just like, oh yeah, of course, yeah, you'd put them there, wouldn't you? Yeah, they're very nice. I like the... Just having everything you need to know about the unit just makes it so much easier to understand what that unit is good
100%.
At.
I think that's always... They're sort of making good on the promise of 8th and 9th edition. Because the move to the sort of more simplified data sheet in 8th from what it was in 7th, which was, you know, quite... I don't want to say
laborious.
Convoluted, but yeah, I guess...
bad.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't want to say things like that, but you feel free. it was a load of shit, right? Yeah, I mean, I think 8th and 9th were always a bit of a halfway house where there were still things left off the data sheet, and 9th has really made good on the concepts that they started. Like, the road is now travelled, you know, we've made the journey from those two editions to get to where we should have got to, right?
Yeah.
When there was one set of footprints, it's where 9th carried you.
Yeah, I really...
Carried you into the toilet, according to the tournament players. Take that, tournament players.
What do they know? They've only learnt and played the game more than us.
Yeah, what are they going to do? They don't know where I live.
Not yet.
Don't dox me, tournament players. Thanks.
Well...
I think the thing which I like about... which I just really hope they don't fall back into is the... It's that little box of, like, weapons which you can have, and then those are listed somewhere else in your book or something. So
there is a little bit. Yeah. There is a little bit of that already with some units that have, like, a lot of weapon options. There is a little bit of that, and I think to a degree it's kind of impossible to not do, because, you know, a Devastator squad has God knows how many different weapon options, right? But yeah, keeping it to an absolute minimum, I think, is certainly a good idea.
Yeah, that's my hope and dream. Anyway, let's move on. That was number one in our massive countdown. What is number two? Where's number two, Roosh?
I'm number two, obviously.
Yeah,
that's the joke.
He is number two.
So here comes my number two take. Some people may not be a big fan yet, but I think I understand the vision or what they're going for. I actually really like the way they've done abilities for like characters, and then what they do when they lead a unit, and also then that the detachments have their own rule. And I know we've only got one detachment per army because, you know, the game just came out and... Games Workshop are like,
depending on how you think about it.
Well, who cares about them? And wow. So, oh, I can't believe we're losing even more of the audience. That's right. No, stop. Come back. Come back.
Fuck to Maring.
Yeah, but obviously we're not gonna get all the detachments now. But I'm really looking forward to seeing, like, the detachment options. Things I really hope that means we might see as a biased individual. Some actual, like, interesting detachments for characters like Fabius Bile, instead of just being like, oh, you're new men, get plus one to move and plus one strength. Wow, lucky you. Maybe they can do something else. Yeah, and the abilities, and all of the different ways they interact with your strats and all the combos. That's what I'm really excited about. Not excited about my inability to remember them, and all the people saying, oh, guys, it's so rules light now. It's so rules light. It's incredible. I mean, maybe, but I was juggling cards, falling out of my hand.
Yeah, I mean,
looking everything up.
For me, rules light is just a net positive. Like, I do not want the...
But I like it.
Seven different overlapping special rules of 9th edition.
No. I agree. I like the fairly simple combo. I don't mean simple as in there, you know, but like it's easy to like look at what we've got at the moment, obviously, and put together some nice things. Like I was able to get a nice little combo for my horrible boys sorted for when we tested the game, where I just teleported my Terminators and Obliterators right into the Hellbrute aura, got both bits of Dark Pact, and then just...
So I have a bit of a question about detachments, and maybe more like sort of an invitation to speculation.
Well, I've played two games, so I'm an expert.
Yeah, so you're an expert. You're the world's greatest
expert.
We're
all experts here.
Yeah.
Do we think that...
No, I don't think.
Well,
correct.
You bow.
This is purely vibes-based and
only vibes.
So other than Nick, do we think that... detachments will be as the current ones are, all sort of, you know, model agnostic, and you just pick a thing that whatever army it is can slot into? Or do we think that there'll be like, you can have this detachment if you take, you know, model X, Y, and Z?
Here's what I think. I think we will end up with both, because Games Workshop, they love to make money, which they're entitled to do. People at home, don't calm know, down. Don't they're entitled that. To make money reasonably.
He's speedrunning the Goober arc. Fucking go.
No! I can't believe it. No. I think what we'll end up with is a mix, right? Because I wouldn't put it past Games Workshop to... I'll use Vashdor, right, as an example. If Vashdor came out in 10th, to have a detachment that's like normal, like we have now, where it's unit agnostic, but then maybe also if they have like a big character, give them their own detachment, but maybe sometimes they'll be like, this is a special detachment and you have to have these guys who just happen to be new, and they can have these rules. I wouldn't mind a fixed. I think sometimes a fixed list is nice and easy, right? Makes it interesting.
My only worry with that is that we end up with something like the formations in 7th edition, which more or less everyone hated.
I hope they would do a mix. Like, I'm not saying that they'll only do that. I'd like to see a mix.
That would be
the
only option. That would be wild, considering how we're starting. But yeah. I can see a world in which like all the detachments are pretty much like model agnostic within the army, but obviously certain rules might suit certain forces within that, right?
Because I feel like they could do some of the, like, maybe some of the wackier abilities or more swingy abilities. If they had the I can't say the ability because I've already said ability. Oh no. If Games Workshop had the ability to limit the detachment to specific units, then they could obviously playtest that, and maybe that gives them a bit of scope for having some wilder abilities.
Yeah, if you're sort of,
because they have only got to test it with a limited thing.
Yeah.
But like I say, I hope we have both as an option.
Do you think that's just a little bit like how they're currently doing the Space Marine ones? Where,
I don't know anything about. I don't care about Space Marines.
Because you can't take Dante in.
Well, that's true. Thing, yeah.
Can you?
I really hope, though, they do a detachment that lets you take all the Primarchs that they're going to release for the Loyalists, just to really...
Well, that's it. I think you can do that at the moment, because
Gilliman
doesn't say he's limited to anything. It doesn't say you can't take Gilliman.
You can ally in... I thought there was a thing saying you could only have one...
You just have a Space Marine army with them both in, right?
Yeah.
That is. Why aren't people doing that?
It could also be a Blood Angels army.
I don't think it would necessarily be all that great.
I didn't ask that question. I said, why aren't people doing that?
Sounds like you've got to start collecting Space Marines.
I already, like, you know, dumped on the tournament players, so they're not even listening anymore, so it doesn't matter, right? I love tournament players also, but it's very funny to, like, poke the hornet nest. I would do it because I'm silly, and I would run that army of both of them, and I would laugh as they didn't get to do any of their abilities well because they're not with the armies that they belong. But it'd be cool.
I'm with Rouge on this one. I think they will be doing something along those lines for narrative reasons as much as anything else.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, like a book. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think it makes sense in that context to like have... Mm. I think you probably will end up restricting which units can go with which to some extent, just because...
Give me the Angels of Death Combat Patrol.
Right, like I know nothing of the lore of 40K. I know not the doings of the Space Marines.
Well,
but like, I'm sure
it's
that
impossible to
some
know all of the
fucking
space
guy
it's,
who, gosh, he's a goodie, but he doesn't play well with others or something. And
he
so,
doesn't play by the rules.
The Maverick,
exactly, but
saying.
He gets result. Yeah, quite.
I need his badge and his bolter on my desk tomorrow morning.
So yeah, I can absolutely see. As well as, I think it's another lever that they can tweak on for balance. If it looks as though like some kind of Primarch soup is becoming horribly oppressive, then by starting to sprinkle in a crouton of restriction, they harmonise the flavours. I don't know where this metaphor's got away from.
I don't know, but it's delicious.
A lovely Space Marine minestrone.
The satisfying umami of balanced play.
Delightful.
Glorious.
Dances across my palate.
Yeah, I kind of... Do you see... like detachments being
something where we see more detachments for each army. So
yes,
at the moment everyone's got just one detachment,
and yeah, I mean, they've said that's that what's going to happen in codexes, right? That's one of the things.
They promised pinky swearsies, they promised. So if they don't, my toys are going out the pram. I'll burn my army on Twitter for views.
Well, we'll capture that one on a podcast as well, so it will be locked behind my own hands.
Watch the we'll record the video of it. YouTube channel.
Nope. Subscribe to my OnlyFans to get that content.
Nah.
Tiny Plastic OnlyFans. Glorious. Okay, Nick, you're up next.
Howdy.
Point three.
Yeah, so point three is something that I've mentioned briefly already, but it's combat patrol. So, in case it wasn't clear, I'm not a 40k player. I think, Pete, we had like one game of ninth, two games of ninth.
Yes.
I had fun, but I did not understand in the slightest what was going on. I remember...
Yeah, take that, yeah, 40k fans. Put them on blast.
And I remember you gave me your sister's army and were like, these Repentia here, they're blenders. And I was like, all right. So I just threw them at you and they blended. And that was the game. And it was, you know, it was a nice chance to like throw some dice, but I didn't really get to grips with it. I didn't get a sense of why, you know, what was appealing about the system or what was the thing that made it
go. The thing that was appealing was that melee was good.
R.I.P.
Sure, absolutely. So with that in mind, like the thing that has been maybe a barrier for me getting into 40k more generally, apart from the setting, which is bad, is I'm trying to alienate more players.
This is
Rouge.
The last episode of this podcast.
Me and Rouge are on a race to the bottom here.
Hell yeah, finally.
No, like, you know, yeah, like the thing that's been a big barrier for me with 40k is that it, as with many war games, and this is definitely a problem that AOS has as well, is that it doesn't scale down nicely. It doesn't play well at lower points values. It tends to be a bit wildly unbalanced, and you just turn into a stomp if you try and like cram things down to those kind of, you know, sub 1,000 point levels. And the idea of just having, you know, for those of you who are somehow not familiar, Combat Patrol is the boxed set that Games Workshop sells, where you get the kind of the foundation of a bigger army. So, for example, in the Leagues of Votan 1, you get your Hearthkin, which are like your standard rank and file. You get Karl, who's your leader. You get some bikes that go around that go zoom. And then you get some shirtless people who come at you with big axes. And that's kind of the core of an army. And the idea of Combat Patrol is that you can buy one of these Combat Patrol boxes, you can assemble them and paint the miniatures, and then you have an army that's ready to go up against another combat patrol from a totally different faction with a totally different array of units. And I'm sure that they are probably not wholly balanced, because how could you do that? But as a way of like giving you a sense of what 40k is about, giving you a streamlined version of the rules, so they don't use the full rules of 40k, they do use their own special rules. And it might be worth talking about that in a minute, but just as like an onboarding thing, it's really excellent. Like, so I mentioned that we had kind of an away day and we played a bunch of games to celebrate the launch of 10th in Nottingham fairly recently.
We went on a little work at Sojourn.
Yeah, that's right. Team building exercise.
Absolutely.
Yeah, team building exercise
for role models and tiny plastic.
We set our plans for the year.
Yeah, yeah. We set an agenda.
Talks about strategy.
God, it sounds awful.
And so in that weekend, I went from having no games of 10th edition to, I think I got 5 or 6 games in, which like over a 2-day period for a system that is new to me is very good going. And certainly, like, I don't know, I'll open it up at this point, because Rouge and James, you also played a Combat Patrol, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm misremembering.
However, I will simply pretend that I did, and no one will know any different. So let's do it.
I have no way of knowing.
Yes, I played Combat Patrol many times, I actually have
as well, but not in that weekend.
I brought my custodies to play against Jamie's Necrons. And that felt like a very strange game, because it was cut down and
custodies are a bit of a beat stick, even in combat patrol, but like they don't have a big unit compared to like all of the other armies. Like their combat patrol is very small, and it's got lots of, well, not lots, but it's got like 10 Sisters of Silence in it, which means you do have these very like not custodies in your army, which are just going to die.
With weird brains.
Do custodies players even know how they work?
How do they work? And yeah, like it felt like I was going to absolutely trounce Jamie. And that didn't feel particularly good at the start. It was like, well, I've got a unit, I'm going to take the bikes, and I'm going to get an alpha strike on you.
But once the trouncing started, you felt much better.
Yeah, I did. Like when, like in our game as well.
Let the hate flow through you.
You got me.
I let the hate go through me.
The boomerang of sass has returned to punish me once again.
Yeah, it then kind of balanced out, because once the bikes were dead, there wasn't actually that much more I could do. So I ended up having like a punch up with some scarabs. And the game itself, while like I did win, 100% win record in 10th, thank you very much.
representing impressive. The competitive players on this podcast.
Very different, you know.
And it was a lot closer based on like the actual missions which they'd laid out, and I thought that's a smart thing to do, that even in a game where we essentially tabled each other by the end, which is what you want from a game, everything dead. But I think it just kind of happened a little bit too soon in our game, so I don't know. And like you're saying, Nick, I don't think it's that the game is going to always be perfectly balanced, and you shouldn't go into it expecting that, but I think going in and saying this is a simpler version of 10th to experiment with just a faction, or see how a faction, like the flavor of the faction, that's genius. That's really nice.
Yeah.
And it works. It works to be a fun game. So,
is the Custodes Combat Patrol a box that exists currently on the shelf like the other ones, or is it one where they just like put the units together and went, this is the Combat Patrol?
Yeah, you can buy it.
It does have a box. All right.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not lying.
No, I never said you were lying. I just said Games Workshop, really. They got no excuse, right? They knew what they were doing when they did that box. Okay. I'll just get in. Okay.
Yeah. And I kind of hope that, like, combat patrols, like, again, like the detachments, that maybe we see more in, like, White Dwarf and things.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think that's the obvious space for it. I think that'd be so cool to see.
Slip a cheeky detachment in, get me to buy a copy of White Dwarf.
Like the support for, I haven't really had much chance on the podcast to just rant about how much I love boarding actions, but the amount of support that boarding actions had from White Dwarf, and the number of just random fun missions in there. Fun, arguably, depends if you lock Eldar outside of a spaceship and don't let their beat sticks into the spaceship. That's a different
story. Sounds fun to me.
But I would find that fun. And I really hope that kind of support comes down the line, because that was really something else at the end of 9th, and actually boarding actions was the best place in 9th, don't at me.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see where they take it, whether they keep it as something that is basically aimed either at, you know, new players like myself, because I don't think I will expand the Votan I've got into a full army. I just, like, I barely have enough time to play all the games that I do play as it is, and I just don't have the money to buy like more toys, please. My poor wallet. But I would be really happy if I just get like a couple of combat patrols in a month, and it's a game mode I'd really like to see. If they can do it, I'd really love to see something similar in AOS, because that is a game that really does struggle at lower point values.
Well, there is the similar like box factor, right, where Vanguard boxes, that's the one.
Yeah.
So it would make a lot of sense to do something similar, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think the thing that I really like about Combat Patrol is that it gives you the sense of, I mean, it gives you the fantasy, right? When you play 40k or AOS or some kind of large scale, you know, heroic 28 mil or whatever you want to call it, you want to feel like a commander who is leading units around the board. At a scale where those individual units have a chance to distinguish themselves, but not at the skirmish level where you've got, you know, 10 little dudes and you're telling them individually what to do. Yeah, exactly. And I think Combat Patrol hits that sweet spot of not actually having that many models, not taking that long to play, but giving you the feeling of though you are being a commander, you know, you are a general, you're actually engaging in that fantasy in a way that I've not actually seen anything else pull off. I think it's a really impressive feat, and I'll be interested to see if it sticks around. I know certainly by the end of the weekend I was kind of a bit patrolled out. I had patrolled enough, I think.
Wow.
And it's difficult to say.
You must be very grateful that we ended with a game of not Combat Patrol then, given the...
Absolutely. Oh, it was great. And it's hard to say whether that was just kind of weekend fatigue in general or if that was specifically Combat Patrol.
Yeah,
but I'd definitely like to pick it up again.
That's pretty impressive, really.
That's like all the missions.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Completed it, mate.
You finished it, yeah, 100%.
Done it. World record speedrun Combat Patrol.
360 no scopes. Nice. All right, moving on to number four. And number four is mine. And mine is Fuck to the Psychic Phase and other phases.
Oh, there goes the Thousand Suns players.
Yeah, we're dropping them all.
Yeah, and let's go.
Mostly, this is more that they've actually smoothed out how effective the phases are. Almost, and taking away the psychic phase, one as an admec and custodies player, I'm happy. I wasn't doing anything.
Wow.
So. I agree. I'm a Chaos Space boy, but I rarely took a sorcerer, and so yeah, I agree. Sitting out that phase was kind of meh, but I agree. I thought it would be before I was like, this seems bad, but actually playing it, no, it's fine. I mean, obviously, I'm sure if I had Grey Knights or Thousand Suns, I'd be like everyone else on my knees, shaking my fist at the sky.
I don't know that that's universally true.
Throwing my 9th edition psychic cards into the fire, crying.
Our main Thousand Suns player over the weekend, he was absolutely loving it. So.
Oh,
exactly.
Our Thousand Suns player is sensible, though. He's not like the others.
Ah, well.
He's a sensible boy from a sensible server.
Lack of hubris.
But like these internet wildlings that just, they just post.
We can't base anything off them. That would be madness.
That's true. That would be sick.
But yeah, it does seem like the change has been made actually quite well.
All I'll say is...
Imho.
James... You've denied yourself as a Custodes player the joy of just completely ruining somebody's day with Sisters of Silence, because they just don't really do that anymore. If you were playing against Grey Knights or Thousand Suns and you had a lot of Sisters of Silence, it would just be miserable for the other player.
What do they do now? Do they get a bonus against?
It's like a save against mortal wounds or something. Or maybe a save against attacks with the psychic keyword.
Yeah, you get a 3+ Invuln against psychic attacks.
Right. Oh, that's quite nice.
I know.
It is nice, but it's not the same level of you can't do your toys now.
What does the Calexus Assassin do these days then? Does he just have psychic gun?
There's a
big
lot
eye
of
gun.
Anti-psyker keywords where it's anti-psyker 2+, so you're just wounding psychers on a 2+ and things like that.
Which to be fair, probably
Sisters
does make
of Silence
for...
get that.
Probably does make for an unhappy Grey Knights or Thousand Suns player. So there's still some joy to be had there.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think it's just that whole just smoothing out a lot of the other psychic powers are now abilities of the psyker, which is
it's cool.
They kind of
deferring something onto the unit they lead, or maybe an aura sometimes.
Yeah, and it kind of takes away a bit of that feel bad where you would have I want to put together a combo and the combo requires psychic powers to go off. So now you're a little bit just leaving it down to chance whether or not you're going to be able to fling the unit you want to into the thing. And while that chance is that was kind of the gamble you were taking then to do it. It's a bit feel bad. It's like failing all your charges.
Yeah, it's feel bad both ways, isn't it? Because one, you can just fail for it to go off. Or two, you assemble the big combo, you roll an 11, and then the nerd opposite you goes, I've got one deny, I'm going to have a go. And they roll a double 6, and you just basically leave the store and leave your army there and never come back. And then I take your army for free at the end of the day. Ha!
But that takes it... That one gives Rouge free armies. but two, it kind of that.
DM me if you want your army back, by the way.
Isn't particularly fun. It's like the fun part of it makes it more tactical on the board of like what you're actually trying to
yeah.
do,
yeah,
and whether your opponent can respond to it rather than deny you of something.
Yes.
So like it's not like an Overwatch shot where it's just like I'm going to charge you. It's like, oh well, I'm going to Overwatch you and like let's see if I can burn your people, or I'm going to use fights first or something.
Yep.
Like that's an interesting like kind of battle of wits because you're always gaining something,
right? And you're using a resource that is either there or not there as well. Whereas the psychic thing doesn't really have that. Yeah. I think
that might be a thing in general. It feels like, I mean, this is just a feels like. It feels like in general, there's a lot less of the like, ah, I'm going to stop you from doing this, like, kind of actions that are in there. It's more like, yes, you can, if you do the command point, you've got the strategy, you're doing the thing. There's a lot less, oh, you've spent all that? Oh, sorry, too bad. Unless you're an Eldar and you just change your dice to, like, six or whatever you're doing, you know. But they're the exception. And I think that's funny. And I think they should be able to do it.
That's them doing something. I suppose unless you're using it on like a save.
It's funny, right? Because they're the one army that can do it, so it's funny. It's allowed. I think they should be able to do it more. I know that they made them do it less, but just do more.
Sisters have got a comparable mechanic, you know?
Yeah, but it's not as good, right? They can't just be like, here's a... I make it a six.
We can't make it a six, but... You know.
In my head, they make it a six, Peter, okay? That's how it works.
Roll some sixes. Or have a farseer.
To play devil's advocate for a second, do you think that by removing the psychic phase and just kind of rolling it into other abilities and weapon profiles and so on, are you losing some of the flavour that you would get where rather than being like, oh, it's the most powerful psyker in the world, here he comes, it's like he's got a flamer, but it's his mind?
Yeah, from a lore point of view, yes. But I feel like how it plays out on the game, it's just so smooth. It's so smooth now. But also in the books, they literally wrote he used his mind flamethrower.
Well, exactly. And I mean, I don't know how much difference it really makes having a distinct phase for that, because like you can put out mortal wounds through shooting or melee in a similar way to having a distinct phase for it happening. And if you roll an 8 or higher, right?
I just pay 1 CP and my Hellbreed just does a ton. 6 mortal wounds coming your way, baby.
And like, I think it's interesting that bringing up that like potential criticism, because that is like a lot of the sort of the internet commentosphere, which of course no one should pay attention to, and yet we all do. A lot of the...
No, it's just you, Pete.
Well, yeah, I have a sickness. It's definitely not just me. Definitely not. Anyway, yeah, a lot of the criticisms from people who have like barely played it, and some people that have, to be excessively generous, is that ninth is like losing its flavor, and I guess having now played half a dozen games, I just don't really see it that way, because you know, armies in 40k are not like a direct translation of their sort of literary versions of themselves, right? To use literary in a very generous way. There is always going to be abstracted, and it's always going to be, you know, why does a space marine seem so easy to kill compared to this novel that I read?
Because are you telling me they've gamified
they've made 40k into a game, and I won't stand for it?
Outrageous. I can't believe they did it.
I guess it gets into a little bit of that, is it a simulation or is it a game?
And I don't think it ever has been a simulation.
No,
exactly.
It's not a simulation.
It is very much a game.
Even like, you know, that's Rogue Trader days when you had like, you know, inventories and shit.
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
Then it was an RPG. It wasn't even a sim then.
Yeah.
They were just doing D&D in space.
Master, right?
With like anti Margaret Thatcher vibes.
Yeah.
Bring back those vibes.
Please.
I mean, she's dead, but. Anyway.
The vibes can stay.
Honk.
Yeah. The vibes can stay. Please stay for the vibes. Awesome. So yeah, I think it's generally good. I think anyone complaining about it can get in the bin. And
oh my god, we've lost nearly all the listeners. Yeah. We're gonna do it. It's like golf. Wow, we want the lowest score, and we're gonna win.
This really, you know, precedes my secret 11th hatred point.
You can't say that.
Have we planned for those? I forgot if we did or not.
I mean, I haven't said officially that until now.
Secret hate.
This
okay.
is like a wrestling
anyway.
Episode.
Yeah, let's Pete wrestle Hilton. On down. And it is back to you, Pete. What
yes,
is your
well,
second thing which you love about 10th, not
thing
hate?
That, yes,
love.
The thing that I love. It's the way that the rules have been sort of put out. And this obviously has a sort of quite hefty asterisk next to it, because they have said that the app will not be free forever. And, you know, the sort of money-making ecosystem that we live in called capitalism suggests that it probably wouldn't be anyway, even if they hadn't said so. But with,
yeah,
with
especially
that
the old
caveat,
one you had to pay for.
With that caveat, the fact that you can just download an app and have like literally all the rules you need to play 40k right now is incredible. And also the app is quite good. I know that the 9th edition app was sort of not well
the
received.
The 9th edition was okay for list building, but it yeah, for like looking up the reference. Sorry, okay. I have very low standards, as anyone listening so far will have worked out. For me, it was okay. But I understand from people who actually know what good software is like, it wasn't that good.
Well, I mean, I use Battlescribe, so I have no idea what good software was like. But
I was going to say, fuck me. That was
take that,
shit.
Battlescribe. The Battlescribe fans have left.
I think the 9th edition app for list building really depended on which army you had. And, you know, it was quite mixed, and it certainly had some like technical hiccups for quite a long time. The new one for 10th seems, it's not perfect obviously, but you know, you can click on rules and see what they do. It's the search feature seems pretty well usable.
Its heart's in the right place.
Yeah, well, and you know, I used it for, you know, 3 or 4 games already.
Yeah,
like before I got my unit cards for my Tyranids, I just used that app completely and it was fine. Like it didn't really have an issue with it. And yeah, I think with my most optimistic hat on, this era of like all the rules are free will maybe prove to GW that, you know, maybe a codex can just be a nice thing to have and that you don't need it for the game to play the game, right?
I feel like they're going to sell the codex.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to happen.
Not this edition.
Yeah, maybe 5 years' time. Maybe in 12.
Yeah. I mean, not to fucking bang on about AOS all the time, but the
please
monetization
do.
Model.
This
for
is
that
an AOS
is
podcast,
that,
so it's fine.
That's right, yeah, I'm taking over from the inside. They, I mean, the data sheet equivalents are free. You can always look at a unit and any abilities that are on there are free, but it's the detachment stuff that is behind a paywall, and the way that functionally works is you have to physically buy the codex, gives you a code
which
that unlocks
is
in the app.
What it's looking like being for 40k as well.
Which is what I'd imagine. Yeah. So even if there is stuff that's paywalled, you should theoretically be able to use the app at least for free, and it will have the data sheets on there.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my imagination, but of course we're in the land of rampant speculation. So
yeah, well, I mean, you know, the fact that AOS does it and you know, 10th edition 40k is taking some cues from
absolutely
AOS.
Copying its homework 100%.
So I think it's not an unreasonable speculation.
Yeah, I kind of hope it's that at least the data sheets stay free, at least those core rules, particularly like for me. Okay, we did just say that we really liked the like the keyword, universal special rules.
Yes.
But for me, remembering those, I'm a smooth-brained idiot. And like something like there's a difference between sustained hits and lethal hits. Those two things have hits
100%.
I had to click so many words for that every time.
And it will go in eventually,
which one is this again?
I think. Yeah. I think it will go in. But at the moment, it doesn't need to go in quite as... like, as long as I can get... like, if someone says, oh, I'm going to do sustained hits right now, it's just like you quickly tap on your phone. Oh, you're going to do that? Are you good? Okay, nice, thank you. And I hope, one, they don't introduce more of those rules, because I've talked about how much I dislike it in Heresy. And it makes it too much like Heresy and reminds me of Heresy.
There's a very different scale with Heresy, to be fair, like where there's
there is
10 to 20 USRs in 40k, there are 60 to 100 USRs in
Jesus Christ.
In Heresy.
And the ones that make sense as well, like Deep Strike,
yes,
it's like, yeah, I know that, and Scout and things like that, they all kind of
makes sense, and anti something makes sense. It's like the auto wounds on this, brilliant, fine. If it gets like Heresy where you've got sustained hits and then repeated hits or something, it's like,
and then also war gear that does different stuff and is in a different part of the rule book. Listen, I love Heresy, but fuck me.
Anyway, this isn't the anti-heresy podcast. We could do another one of those another
that's
time.
Next week.
Yeah, cool, awesome. Rouge, what's the next thing that you think is awesome about 10th edition?
It's a bit of a selfish one, and it's a bit of a cop-out, but I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. So some people just skip ahead for like the next 15 minutes.
15?
I think that's being a bit optimistic.
Sarcasm might have been there. Anyway, it's a good point. Well, one thing that I'm looking forward to about 10th is based on previous Games Workshop performance and the amount of like cash in brown envelopes I've been posting in over the last few years. Hopefully, almost certainly, touch wood, cross my heart, hope to die. You know, prepare myself. Hopefully we might get, or we hopefully we'll get Emperor's Children, get the actual codex, and I can have some new Noise Marines and the best worst Primarch for the best worst Legion can wiggle on down to real space and show his brothers who's the hottest Primarch of them all.
I mean, I would be astounded if it didn't happen, given
I will
in the last
cry. Just it, real e- cry.
Each
just...
each edition has had a Chaos God flavoured Legion release, right? Seventh
we
had
can
Thousand
only
Sons,
hope.
Eighth had Death Guard, ninth had World Eaters. If it doesn't happen now, it'll happen like at the start of 10th. That's my 10th. We're in
You mean
now.
The start of 11th?
The start of 11th, yeah. That would be my hot take.
Yeah, so I think it'll come at the end, right? I feel like it'll be World Eaters style. So yeah, 3 years later, it might happen. But that's what I like about 10th, is that finally...
finally,
it's our time.
No other options.
They can't run anymore. They're going to have to give the Slaanesh players what they want.
Wait for the surprise dedicated Iron Warriors faction, just so you
know. Yeah, Perturabo, coming soon.
Word bearers are
fucking
back,
Lorgar.
Baby.
Every single undivided legion before.
They'll bring back Ferus Manus. That's what it'll be. They'll be like, Ferus Manus is back.
And he killed all the Emperor's children. That's so mad.
So yeah, that's what I'm looking Very forward cross. To at some point down the line.
When do you think they're going to drop it?
At the because end. It will be like World Eaters style. It'll be the end. It'll be like the last. There's no. They have to, right? There's
it's
no point.
It's got to happen. Gotta.
It feels like if you had to cap the edition off. Plus,
yeah, another Primarch release, right?
That's yeah, I don't want them to rush it, right? Yeah. Well, they've got to do all the Loyalist ones that are in the pipeline first before they.
Boo.
I know, boo.
No more Loyalist Primarchs.
You shouldn't have even got the Lion nerds. Yeah. You're not getting any more, and you're not getting Big E. Shut up and sit down.
All the Chaos ones should come out before.
Yeah,
anymore.
Yeah. They're
anymore.
All the ones who are alive. Vulcan, he's a perpetual, so you can have Vulcan. Everyone else is dead or sleepy or lost in the warp. They're not coming back. Only the Naughty Boys. If you want a really big Space Marine, you have to be the Naughty Boys. That's the price you pay. You have to paint that gold trim if you want the biggest man on the table.
Just yelling bigger.
Yeah, just the
bigger.
Yeah, just the. But yeah, hopefully they don't do Emperor. And anyone who thinks they're going to do the Emperor, you're wrong.
They will never
they're
do
not
the
doing
Emperor.
It.
Never going to happen.
No, they won't.
Anyway, if you want that, just kitbash the Marnius Kalgar toilet miniature.
And don't forget to flush. Boom.
Nice.
Roasted.
Got him.
I wonder which. Do you reckon the custodians have to do is like catheter and stuff? Is that what. Who does that?
Psychic. Something,
yeah, it's
psychic.
A psychic.
Something, psychic. Catheter. Psychic. Alright.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, there's probably like a little, you know, servo skull does that, I guess.
Gonna keep letting you go round for a little bit and then we'll move on.
Alright, I guess.
Are you done?
What else
are you
got?
Done with
well,
your
I mean, I can...
What else you got?
What's your tight five?
That's it, let's just...
Various okay. fishes.
bodily functions.
Nick, save us. What's your second thing?
It's a banger. If I say so myself, it is one that Pete nearly blundered into. But it's strength and toughness. And this, for me, was the thing that... So I am a smooth little baby-brained boy. And I can't... Like, the playing games of ninth, I was truly baffled by toughness. Like, the idea of just not having a flat to wound roll really threw me. Especially because, so I did do a little bit of research to make sure I wasn't just talking out my arse. And, like, so for comparison, like, your standard big stompy Imperial Knight last edition was toughness 8. And melters were also strength 8. So, from what I gleaned talking to other people, it was just like the answer last edition was more melters. Just throw melters at it. Because, you could just meaningfully melt anything you liked.
You could melt Whereas most now, of your problems, yeah.
The fact that, you know, knights are what? Toughness 20?
No, exactly. No.
Melters are mostly. Not stonks.
Well, there's one that's 20, isn't it?
That's a titan.
Whatever, man.
Toughness 20 is, like, extremely rare.
Anyway, toughness a lot.
We're talking Forge World, baby.
Yeah.
Like, sure, but my point is that there's design space for that stuff to exist.
Yes.
There is design space to make it meaningful. Because they've just made all the number go up quite a lot, there is now a meaningful distinction between stuff that is designed to kill tanks versus stuff that is designed to kill infantry, rather than just having, like, what is my strongest gun, and I will throw that at whatever wanders into my path. Which is... I'm being a bit unfair, but
It's interesting you bring up melters specifically, because they were always sold to me in the fiction as anti-vehicle weapons, right? Like short-range anti-vehicle weapons. And obviously, we already said, you know, the game is not a simulation. It's not trying to completely depict everything that's in the setting. But now, melters are strength 9, which pretty much doesn't worry any medium or higher vehicle, because they'll be wounding them on fives.
Yeah. Mm. So but if they do wound...
Yeah, I guess they have the high AP and the high damage, right? So there is that.
I think it means that those things matter. It makes your AP matter more, and it also makes your damage matter more as well.
This is another big stats change, is AP becoming less common, which I really like, because it had gone kind of ludicrous by the end of ninth.
Yeah, I think also it gives the vehicles a bit more space to play. Because, why you have to spend a lot of points to bring a vehicle with a big gun, or I can bring Chod Gang and they've got a melter in there. And so I'm just going to, like, bring a few guys and just throw lots of melter at you and hope for the best. Whereas now you can bring the melter, but it'll do damage, but it's not going to do as well at getting through as if you bought a vehicle with a really big gun to get the job done.
Yeah, it's like that whole just designs. Like, I was a little bit at first when you start shooting into stuff, like, you kind of expect it to die, because that was kind of the ninth edition way that ninth was you pointed stuff at things and you either erased it off the board or you bounced off incredibly quickly and then realized that you'd made a huge mistake. But in 10th, it just feels that those vehicles hang around a bit longer as well.
Yeah. Case in point, when I played you, James, and your tank tanked, it soaked up a lot of fire. I think, and that ties back into, I can't remember who said it, like, the less feels bad, which is now if you bring, like, maybe it's a bit early in the edition to say, but at this point, it feels like there's not as much feels bad as in, okay, I've got an army and I've got my knight, or here's my big tank, or here's my big unit, and your opponent just alpha strikes it off the board because they get the first turn.
Stuff is definitely more
survivable.
And that's
that. Yeah, it feels like you. Yeah. And the fact that they've lowered the bracketing right down, I think, is also good. It just feels more like you don't feel so much like, oh, I have to hide my big man in a corner behind a building, and he can't come out. And he can't do what I want him to do, because if he looks out of the corner at the wrong time, he's going to disappear and I won't get to have any fun with my mini that I spent time painting and, you know, has all my big guns and was going to do some work. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of the of the strength and toughness, because I think it's led to a bit more, I don't know, it feels a bit more fair, right? It feels more like if you bring a tank or a big or a tougher unit, that it's not necessarily going to disappear before you get to at least use it once.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned it briefly, but it just feels like they've got more levers to tweak. Mm. They've got more stuff to play with until they can get the feeling exactly right.
Yeah.
Sorry, James, I cut you off there.
No, I was going to say pretty much the same thing. It makes, like, units as well, which are supposed to be more tanky. So, for instance, like Terminators now feel more survivable than they used to. Then they're not relying on just like an invulnerable save, although they actually are, I think.
But they certainly do have one.
But they've got like, and it's almost like the tweaks to custodians to have, like, their trick is lots of saves, but they're not actually that tough if you get through the saves. And that's like an interesting thing. That's their thing now, is that they've got really great saves. But if you get damage through to them and you're doing damage 3 or something, you're going to start icing them off the board. And the same for like adding in storm shields. It's not just adding in more saves, it's just adding an extra wound on, and that becomes a meaningful change as well. So it's it's like
Twinlink, I think, plays into that as well a bit. At first I was a bit like, halving my attacks for all these weapons, but now I feel like this is probably a bit fairer. No one likes getting 2 las cannons to the face, taking 12 damage.
Well, and it's more consistent. Twin length is actually really valuable now that toughness has gone up across the board.
A good point.
It makes it so much more likely that to do something.
Consistency.
Yeah, particularly with like las cannons, where it's like you might get 2 shots, you might hit one of those 2 shots, particularly as ballistic skills changed very much.
Oops,
like 4
fails the wound. There goes my...
For heavy weapons, yeah.
See, and they've removed even more feels bad.
Yeah.
Common Games Workshop W.
It turns out, you know what? They've done an addition. And it's all right, maybe.
I stared directly into the camera.
Well, we've got plenty of pod track left to go. Maybe we'll discover it's not all right.
Well, we haven't got to the debate portion yet. So.
Bloodsport!
Anyway, on to my last point, which I was going to make, point number 8 of our 10 things. I really like the whole, well, mostly getting rid of auras and attaching leaders to units and then them giving the units a particular buff. And I didn't quite realise in the couple of games which I've actually had just how powerful this is until I met Rouge.
It's
showed you the way.
He showed me the way.
Copy paste those 0 CP strats. Heck yes.
That's it.
Imagine if I had 2 Hellbrutes and they could both do tank shock.
Delicious.
10 mortal wounds into your custodies.
Lucky I've got that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Save. Hey.
But yeah, I super agree with you, James. I think it's one of the best changes they've made.
Yeah, and I think for me, just the having abilities on the units rather than that be a stratagem is so good, because you look at your unit and you say, unless it's an ADVEC unit, then it's useless. But then if you look at your unit, you say, right, this unit, they've got this thing and that's what they do when they pop off. Great.
Yeah.
And then you attach the leader to it as like an extra, like literally the buff which you want to give that unit. Mm. And then that's it. That's all you need to remember about what you're doing. You're not sat there measuring, am I 6 inches away? And you're not messing around your deployment.
Or like flicking through all your strategy cards going like, I need the one for the thing.
The thing that I really like about it, because this is one of my favourite changes as well, is that you don't have to futz around with the character targeting rules anymore.
Yeah.
Owner gets to decide, unless you have a sniper, or they're not in a unit and you can target them, and it's that simple. And I think that's so much better.
My master of executions might finally get to execute some people this version of the game.
Get them precision strikes.
Yeah, I think he gets fight first as well, or something crazy.
Very good.
So he just finally does the thing.
Yeah, and like looking at a unit and saying, okay, right, this is what they do, and like they've got a rule around, like they've got like once per turn this unit can do this. It's like that's a nice thing, particularly in smaller games as well. Like if you're playing about 1,000 to 1,500 points, that just makes every unit feel a lot more.
Agree.
Just that there's something to them.
There's something for them to do.
Yeah. And like some of those things that can be like quite fun gotchas and stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh, I put my shield captain with this unit, and now this unit can do this, and that's quite exciting, like changing fighting stance and stuff.
When they come to the codexes, they might revisit and because I don't have any complaints with any of the current abilities, but I hope when they do the codexes they might revisit units and like change up the abilities a bit or make them do more variety of things, because I think it gives some units a lot of options or a reason to take them compared to the old game where they were just units you would never take, right? At least giving units an interesting ability might give you more reason to take them in a game compared to just running the same
obstacle. I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Rouge, about you know, combos, is that you can have one unit and it's like, well, if I give them if I attach this leader to it, then it gives them one character, but if I attach a different leader to it, it actually gives them a different role in my army.
Mm. Yeah.
And you can start to meaningfully change how units feel.
Yeah, and I like
little changes like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And I like that they've sort of limited the units that get that variety to like the core units. So it's usually your like Legionnaires or your standard Space Marines who get the options to have a lot of different types of leader leading the unit. Like, whereas your specialist guys that like I only know Chaos Space Marine rules. Like only the only guy who can lead Havocs, I think, is a Warpsmith for some reason.
Well, that makes sense.
They were like, oh, he's got nothing else to do. Hang around with the big guns. Like,
I was going to say, in light of really liking
this. Yeah, he's horrible, like, you know, well, make sure all of the...
No, I was going to say, in light of really liking this like way that characters work, GW, please let me put any character in a Repentia squad. Please, I'm begging you.
Hey, don't worry. Here's what they will do. They are going to release a Repentia hero at the Codex, and you can give them money for the character that has the OP ability for your Repentia squad.
I'll take it.
And if you're surprised and you complain about that when it happens, I don't know where you've been for the last forever.
Internet.
You're not very internet-pilled, are you?
No.
If that's your take.
But yeah, I would like a character for my Repentia, please. Thank you, Games Workshop, in advance.
You heard him, James Workshop.
Call him a shot.
I would like to see just maybe some better rules for AdMech to do things with their leaders.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Codex is coming at some point.
Not to veer into a criticism, but it does seem like...
But we're sick of your AdMech, James.
No, I'm not sick of
them. Sorry. Oh, I'm reading the wrong script.
Too
sorry,
good
that next
for 30
week's
minutes
script.
In Ninth Edition.
They've become sad mech. This is the problem.
Nice, got him.
But it does seem like there's a lot of less than well-balanced lists doing the rounds in terms of, you know, how the
meta is shaking.
I mean, still early days, so...
It's early days, it always happens. Death Guard players, it'll get better.
Like, about it that much. Like, also, like, the thing, just going back to, like, having the leaders and units, like, there's not that much in the way of things that, like, can prevent a change to them. Mm. Like, you just change a sentence, and that dramatically changes what a unit can do. So it's, again, we were talking about the amount of design space they have. It's like, oh, just let that unit be attached to that.
I know this is the things we love about 10th edition. I'd say the only drawback with their incredibly nice digital rule set with things that we can tweak on the fly is that you have sold hard copy index cards that I have to scribble over or put a little sticker on. Now, I don't mind. Yeah. I don't mind.
I mean, I think that's
just saying.
That's just.
But again, come on.
An intrinsic danger of having rules aids, right?
Exactly. And for me, I knew what I was going in for. I mainly just wanted to shuffle my index cards and shout Yu-Gi-Oh! Quotes when it gets to my turn.
That's why you're wearing that arm holster, finally.
That's right. It's me assembling the index card equivalent of the Blue Eyes White Dragon on turn three. Ah, finally, my Terminators have landed. You've activated my Strat card. Exactly.
See, I just hope it means that they're not, like, by going to the more digital rules, that they're going to be able to change rules more often.
Yeah, I hope so.
And well, they take advantage of it. Like, they did do quite a lot of it in ninth, and it feels like we were saying, like, the evolution of the eighth and the ninth strategy. Yeah. Like, eighth Index Hammer was a glorious time. It was a
good time.
And we're in that now for 10th, but they can already do balance fixes to it. It's not reliant on books. Like, there was barely anything in the way of, like, errata and data slates and things when
they did any hot fixes yet.
Yes.
Though they changed Eldar. Yeah, they changed Eldar, didn't they?
Points changes already for things within Direct Fire. So it's been quite quick.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to getting to roll a 4 up involve my Terminators now after playing the entire weekend with the wrong involve set. To be fair, they were pretty tanky anyway, so they did more damage to themselves by praying too hard than actually getting shot or killed in combat, so
yeah, but you also lied to me about what fight first meant, so
it's all coming out now.
It's coming out now.
I was cheating everybody. But in my defense, what happened was I didn't, so James asked, I think you asked what fight first was, and I think I misunderstood. I didn't realise you were saying one of your units had fight first. I thought you were just asking how it worked. Not
I popped
I've got
a
fight
stratagem
first,
to do it and everything, and you still made me fight second.
I was probably trying to I was trying to scoot cultists off the board from your jet bike charge, probably. So I was distracted.
Yeah. You were still
singing in the arms of the angels, fly away, as I, dump my little plastic boys and girls back into the tub. So yeah, everybody listening, I cheated. All right, that's what I get for making fun of you all earlier in the podcast. I'm a big cheater. And I still lost.
You tabled me.
But I have to complain about the Gambit cards in another episode.
Yeah. All right. That's our eight things in this 10th things I love about 40K. So is there anything which we've actually not covered, I guess is the question. Is there anything we you'd want to bring up?
Well, I mean, there's lots we haven't, but realistically. Well,
Come on.
There's something that we have covered, I think, that we've not maybe said explicitly, or it might be worth making a separate point about it. This is thing number 9. We're getting there. Is that there's less feels bad. There doesn't seem to be as many gotchas. I mean, it's little things like changing heavy so that rather than if you move, you have a -1 penalty to make it being like, well, the weapon skill is worse, but if you stay still, you get a +1. Like, it is stupid, but we have stupid monkey brains and they love that shit.
That is really
feels
nice.
Good to get a bonus.
Yeah, I agree. I feel there's just a lot less feels bad for everyone involved in this game. Feels bad for you when you used to like completely stomp someone with some bullshit, or feels bad when they do the bullshit back to you, or feels bad because you relied on this dice roll and it didn't happen, or feels bad because you made a good dice roll and the other person just went, no, here's the thing that stops that.
I guess in the same, it might be, I don't think it's a point 10 because it kind of jumps off that, but I really like how you don't lose models for Battleshock anymore. Like, Battleshock is
point 10. Battleshock changed. That's point 10. There you go.
Point 10. Yeah.
Battleshock. It's great.
But the reason why
I
like that is that
my cultists are so brave, guys. They're so brave now. They just won't stop buffing my cultists. I love it.
But it means that, like, you don't have a round where you, like, you shoot 5 people off. And then you punch 2 of them.
Yeah, and
the
other
3 left.
Just
and then it's just like
away.
At the end of the turn, it's like, and they go away.
Yeah.
Like, that's not particularly like a
good. It doesn't feel good.
So going into it and saying, actually, you have to completely knock this unit off the board now.
They're just
before
spooked.
It runs away. Is, you know, your toys are on the, like we were saying, that your stuff lasts longer.
Yeah.
Your toys are on the board for longer and you're having a bit more chance to actually play with them, even though they might not be able to do everything that you want them to do anymore.
Yeah, I've seen a few people say, oh, is Battleshock even doing anything anymore, you know? And I don't mean to discredit those people's experience, but
they're dummies.
In the games
I'll do it. You dummies,
thank
you dummy dum-dums.
Rouge, the heel of this podcast. Like, it has been impactful in my experience. Like, it has made some huge differences. It's, like, prevented people from scoring
in crucial
moments.
Exactly, yeah. The game is a lot of point scoring. In all the missions, it's, hey, hold the objectives, get the points.
Not
as soon
being able to use a stratagem at a key moment is surprisingly impactful as well.
That also helps with the feels bad as well, because it, you know, nothing worse than, again, having the other guy thwart, like, you had the upper hand, and now they're like, aha, thwarting you again. So yeah, I agree. I think it's good. Stops the feels bad. Helps in a game
feels
that's
good.
Based on points. Feels good.
I think particularly because it's very much all the missions are about like objective control, or nearly all about objective control,
one
and it makes
another,
the game focus more on that, which I think is
definitely
a good thing, particularly at the moment when the armies are a little bit like, let's say, unbalanced. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I think also,
I don't think that's a. I'm very brave right now.
It's okay. I think even for the diehard tournament players, whichever one is still listening, I think it adds some more like tactical gameplay, because I'm sure there's a lot of like stuff you can do potentially where you can throw a unit towards the objective. And even if they're OC, like, they get battle-shocked and they suck and they can't do anything, they're still kind of an obstacle, right? You can still use them as a shield to protect another unit. So you can still do some, like, I feel like you can still do some tactical stuff with the new system that you couldn't do before with leadership, where they'd just be running away and, you know.
Yeah. And it's made controlling an objective that much more clear as well, like the whole OC and battle-shock thing. It's like, if battle-shocked, you can't have it.
Stats.
Yes.
But
I love it. Great. Yeah.
It's again, nice. Cultists, who knew they were secretly the most tactical unit of all of the Heretic Astartes? They'll get on a unit. Not a problem.
You
it's
knew,
ours
Rouge.
Now.
You always knew.
I mean, I knew.
You
they got
knew.
Me. They had me write the rules for the cultists. That's why they're so good.
Is there anything else which we want to bring up that we love about it before we go into one thing I probably hate about 10th?
I just love how much fun I have with my friends playing it, you guys.
Hooray!
This is it. This is it. It feels, you know, it's the classic thing of a war game should be about having a fun time.
Yeah. I got my head kicked in by a 1,000-point night list and I loved it. I would do it again.
Me and good friend Jamie got totally fucking wiped. We got pasted by Pete and his fucking Tyranibs. I fucking hate them. Fucking hate Tyranibs.
It's my only win of this edition so far.
But I still had a blast. I still thought it was a really good time. And I think any war game that is not an obstacle to fun is kind of a victory in itself.
Yeah.
I've played some games that have been real fucking obstacles to fun, let me tell you.
Hey, that's another plus. The lowered amount of feels bad means you're more likely to end a game still friends with your opponent. And just
fewer relationship ruins.
The power of friendship, it's stronger than ever in 10th edition.
Just everyone shaking hands.
Yeah, making out.
The place.
With consent.
I missed that bit.
It's like the start of some sci-fi thing where they announce that wars will now be fought on tabletops. And somehow everyone... Tabletops in our battlefield, yeah.
Glorious. So, I guess we've been circling around what we don't like. Is there anything anyone wants to rant about?
Yes.
Yes, okay, Pete, go.
There's one thing that I really... And I don't think I'm ever going to change my mind on this, although I am, of course, open to... The fact...
Are you the change my mind meme?
The fact... Oh, but then I have to be Steven Crowder and I don't want to be him.
Steven Crowder. Yes!
No, I'm not taking that. fuck that guy. But anyway, the fact that they have implemented the Age of Sigmar style point system for buying units does not work for me at all. Because I've been collecting 40k, you know, since I was 12... in this instance of like adult 40k-ness, I've been collecting it for like 8+ years, and it's always been that you buy models in an army by the individual model. There's a minimum unit size, and then you can go up to the maximum model by model, and that's how I've collected my armies, my numerous, stupidly numerous armories for years and years and years. And I don't care that war gear is rolled into the cost of the unit. That's fine. That's like a perfectly sensible abstraction. But let me take a squad of 7 intercessors. Let me take a squad of...
You can take a squad of 7 intercessors. This is... You just need to pay the points for...
That's not an answer, though, is it?
I mean, this is very feels-based arguing. This is very Steven Crowder territory,
Steven. I'm not saying it's rational. I'm just saying that I hate it.
No, I know. I know.
I hate it.
Pete's entitled to his incorrect
opinions.
It's not
going to stop me enjoying 10. It's not your fault.
You've just reached the age where your brain stops being plastic. Well, that's the problem. You've entered...
It's all downhill
my...
from here.
Yeah, you've got my problem now.
It's my way or the highway. Oh, shit. Resin brain. That's... I mean,
you've got like...
Yeah, you got resin.
You've got a bit of lead poisoning. You know, that we all got as children before they got rid of the lead. Yeah,
I've still got pewter brain.
Oh God!
It's. I think it's fairly legitimate to say, like, particularly they kept, like, particularly in ninth, they made it very easy.
I'm a nihilist,
to do that.
So I think it's funny and watching people cry about it.
Like, particularly like with Skitarii, the units went up to 20, but then they took away certain builds. So we'd already like said, oh, actually, you can't take the things that are not in the kit. Great, that's fine. But then it's like, oh, but you can take them in a unit of 20, and now it's like you could also take them in a unit of 5. But now it's like you can take them in a unit of 10. That's it.
Yeah.
And like that's
oh, so it's Skitarii literally 10, and there's no variation. You can't have a 10 or a 20. That's interesting.
I'm gonna use this really good app to.
Are they battle line
now,
Skitarii?
I'm not just making complete beef of myself.
They always were battle line.
There were troops before, obviously. Yes.
Yes. So maybe that's why they did it, right? Because otherwise people... You can have 120 cultists, that's fine.
Yep.
But I don't think we want to see 120 Skitarii.
I don't know.
And I certainly don't want to see 120 Space Marines unless they're firstborn or scouts. Metal scouts.
For that.
You have to give the unit a weapon.
You have to give them, like, the... Like,
no, they've just come with...
You can't just send them out there.
You have to have
come
the,
and have
like,
a go if you think
ones.
You're hard enough.
Then you have the one with the tether, and then you have one with an arc rifle, and then you have one with the transuranic arquebus.
Oh, really?
Is this because they had, like, a kill team box
set.
Or something?
No,
it's
no,
actually set. So, like, your rangers and
just
your
what came in the spring.
Vanguard are completely set.
That's weird.
I guess
it's absolutely
wild,
it is a big change.
Admech army.
It's a big change.
Like, the thing that I don't like about it, partially, is I often treat list building as, like, a bit of a toy, like, a thing to muck around with. And you still can do that, obviously, like, changing units out and stuff. But, like, fiddling with the exact specifics of each unit and stuff was something that I quite like doing. And there's less call for that now.
Yeah. You don't get the satisfaction anymore when you get the exactly on the limit. That's
2,000
they've taken.
Points because I took
never this, forget what they took from us.
This 2-point grot that I added to the list to make it a round number.
There you go. Gone forever.
And that's why I was still
playing. Is there anything
Heresy.
Else which we?
Yeah, you could always just play 9th edition.
Is there anything else we want to add to this before we go back to 9th?
We're never going back.
I ain't
going
to do that.
No,
reject I'll modernity.
Embrace 2021.
If I go back to an edition, I want to go back to 2nd.
Oh God!
Hell yeah!
Send me all the way back.
Hell yeah! Let me and give roll those scatter dice that on far. That vortex grenade,
no.
Son.
2d6
armor
saves.
Cards. Yeah, boy.
Yeah, 3 upon a 2d6 first terminators was a good time. Until the vortex grenade lands on you that you threw with your own scatter dice, and you take them off the board without doing anything. So, careful what you wish for, people who want to go back to 2nd.
Awesome. Well, then we've got 10 things which we love, and we have one thing that Pete hates.
This is the perfect balance.
It is.
He is the
amazing.
Most hateful one of us.
Thank
we
you.
Have one question, and I think we've answered it already. But for someone who
you should at least do them
play,
the courtesy of reading their question out, though, James.
I'm doing it right now.
Got a question? Answered it. See you next week.
Done it.
Give me a bloody minute, you. Yeah, monsters. So.
John writes in with a question for the podcast, and John asks, I don't play 40k. Should I get a combat patrol or a combi pat? I don't know.
That's what he sounds like. Have you not met John?
I don't think I have.
It was uncanny.
Salt of the Earth guy.
I've never met him. I've no idea what he sounds
voice,
like.
I don't think I have.
He does not sound like that.
In a way, we all know a John.
I mean, I've got shares in Games Workshop, so yeah, buy a combat patrol,
buy
John.
All of them. Buy one of each.
Please. I need to make my mortgage payments, so I need the dividends. Okay, buy all the combat patrols right now. Yeah, I don't know.
If you can fundamentally
afford it, don't spend food money that you need to live. But if you're curious, it seems like a good way of dipping a toe in if you've already been into the shop and said, can I have a go at the 40k please, Mr. Shopman? Because he'll let you play for free. And then after that, yeah, a little combat patrol. Yes. I'm saying
there
it.
You go. I mean, my cop-out answer is it depends. It depends. I mean, do you have people to play with, fundamentally? Mm. Or if you're interested in playing at all, do you have people to play with? Because if you do, brilliant. Combat Patrol is really, I find it really fun. I find it really fast. I find it really easy to pick up. It's a light, delicious treat. A low-calorie snack. And that's great. But if you don't have anyone, if everyone you know is either like full hog and is like, no, I want 2,000 points or fuck off, then, you know.
Sorry for saying that.
I've still not forgiven you.
Sorry, not sorry.
No, I think it's a, even for that, like, if you've got friends who are already into it, I think it's probably the way to go rather than buying like a starter set or something.
Yeah,
I think the starter set
definitely
is like a way in, and the starters which they've announced, apart from the ultimate one, don't look like they've got much more in than the basic rules. But
no.
The ultimate one has two combat patrols in it.
Yeah.
Which is definitely like a swing for, like, you've got a starting point to actually play other people with,
yeah,
what's
with
in
the
this
rules
box.
And the terrain.
Yeah.
And
yeah, a bit of scenery in the board, yeah.
For
really
less
good.
Than the price of two combat patrols is a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a really nice, like, starter set. But if you knew people already, I would still say get one for the army that you want to try.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't play 40k already, like, otherwise you'll like get the big box, you won't paint it all, and you'll have to sell it to us at a discount, and you won't like that.
Yeah, there's really, I think it's probably the best entry sort of slope that they've created, really, because Kill Team's always been something that's been distinct in various ways, especially now that it's like completely different rule set, whereas now it's literally buy a box, download the rules, and you can do it. It's really, a lot of barriers are not there.
Yeah, definitely.
It's good. So let's just give those GW fat cats their dollar, and
they'll give us the cut that they're giving us.
That's right.
And we can suck on down on their
that's
plastic.
Sweet, sweet.
Give us
our
plastic
grains.
Thank you, James.
Awesome. Glorious. Okay, so it's probably time to bring the ship into harbour and get the hell out of here. So, we like 40k 10th edition. It's a lovely time. We've given you reasons. You can, you know, make sure that you listen to us and say we heard it on the podcast. You can tell us that you said it on the podcast to your friends by emailing us at thetinyplasticpeople@gmail.com. Tell all of your friends about that, and you can tell them about our website at the same time, which is tinyplasticpeople.com, which is really exciting as well. You can find all of our podcasts there, and sometimes articles and other things. So talk to us and visit our website. Then we go into the bit where we tell people where to find each other in the crumbling masses of social media. Pete, where are you?
I'm nowhere except for Instagram now, because I've been very good. So find me at Instagram,
again.
At Fienya, FIYENYAA.
Amazing. Rouge, where can people find you on the internet?
I do post in different places, but like an idiot, I've got different usernames. If you can find me on Twitter by searching for Rugin or something stupid like that.
Nice. Nick, can you be found on the internet?
No, I can't. I have no social media presence currently. I
not even
Twitter,
here. We're going to mute on this podcast.
Just edit it out completely. I do hang out on our lovely, friendly Discord community, which is very nice. You can join us there at discord.gg/role models.
Professional plug. He did it. Smooth.
Sick.
I literally tested the link just now and can confirm it works.
We got him.
So... yeah, you can go and at me there and tell me about my bad 40k opinions.
Beautiful. And you can find me on Instagram and on Threads as well as Alone Music UK. I don't even know what Threads is, really, but I'm on it. I'm also on other things, but I don't know what they are. I'm basically just squatting on my name, and that's all I'm doing.
Sounds hot. And,
you know, aren't we all, yeah, in some way, squatting on our names, waiting for something to happen?
Excellent. So join us on the Discord. We have a lovely time talking about all of this stuff and more, showing pictures of our pets, having politics.
Well,
it's great.
Don't put them off.
Do not enter the politics zone.
Or stay in the politics zone. Anyway, that's it from us. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I've got one last thing to say for the fans. Tag 2!